All right, brethren, well, let's turn back to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Well, we were walking a lot this past week. I had plenty of time to think about things. And I thought we'd been walking together for a little while. This Tuesday will be 3 years since I come out to first meet you. First people, it goes by quick, don't it? I didn't mention that this morning, but people always talk about Paul running a good race. Walking with the Lord's a slow process. It's all day, every day. But just like as we age, them years go by quick. That was a race, wasn't it? It went by quick, by fast. Psalm 9, my title is My Earnest Resolution. Several years ago, Brother Don Fortner was going to preach for us up in Alaska. And before he got there to the place we were assembling, I was talking to one of the brethren, and I said, I think it was in December, and towards the end of the year. And I said, I got some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to drink more water and eat less sugar and read more books or something, you know, whatever people come up with. And then Don showed up. He wasn't there when I said that. And he got up and he said, you know, it's for man to declare what he's going to be resolute in the coming year is a fool. And I shrunk, you know. That's the Lord speaking to me is what it was. Show me what I am. But David here in Psalm 9 is declaring his resolve. He's declaring his true determination, his earnest desire from that new heart. We'll notice here as we read through these verses, David says multiple times, I will praise thee, I will sing to thee. And then he gives the reason, for thou hast. Isn't that salvation? Isn't that our walk in this world? I will, for thou hast. Because you have, Lord. Christ, our greater David. This is him speaking throughout this psalm. It's David that wrote it. David earnestly said these things. He wasn't a robot. He wasn't a puppet. He lived this. He experienced it. And for the believer in our day, nothing's changed. We can say this in our new creation with earnest, truly. This is our determination. This is our resolution. Things we desire. It says there in verse 1, Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. My pastor read this line one time, and I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, that verse. And he said, you know, that's not always easy, is it? I'm glad he said that. I don't think I've experienced that fully. With the whole of me, all of me. I have an old man with me. I'm living in him right now. It's not easy to praise the Lord with your whole heart, especially when you're in darkness, when you're in pain, when you're in heavy trial, to praise Him in all things. That's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's hard to praise Him in time of ease, when things are going great, things are comfortable. It's hard to praise God with your whole heart in those things. But when I first read this psalm a couple weeks ago and dwelled on it, I was down. I was down. So I wish I could do that. I wish I could praise you with my whole heart. And David's writing here, and he seems to be just singing from the mountaintops, doesn't he? Oh, he's happy. He's been delivered from his enemies, and he's singing. And that made me even lower. It wasn't time to preach from Psalm 9. I was sad. But David's not recalling what he did in the past, is he? He didn't say, I have sang your praises. I have worshipped you and praised you with my whole heart. He said, I will. I will. He's telling his resolve for the future. And that's the determination. That's the resolve, the resolution of the new heart. The new creation born in us of God. That old heart, it cannot and it will not praise God. Doesn't know how to. But having interest, it's in darkness, it's dead. And that new man desires to praise Him. And all it does is praise Him. That's its nature. That's its instinct. And as we grow in grace, as the Lord keeps us on this earth longer, walking with Him, guiding us, we desire to praise Him more. I praise Him. I want to praise Him more. And in all things. in all things giving thanks. And that's my desire. If something bad happens, what the world would call horrible, so that's terrible, I hate that happen to you. I want to praise my God, dear. He said, and this is personal. This is to the believer, and it's personal to our Lord. This is a one-on-one. We'll see this towards the end. It's what David will do, and what Christ our Lord did. He says, verse 1, I will praise thee. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. This is one-on-one. It's personal. We praise a person. That's who we praise. We don't praise a doctrine. I love unconditional election. I'm thankful for that. That's hope for sinners. I love effectual, irresistible grace. I love the truth of preserving and perseverance of the saints. The Lord keeps us forever. I love that. Of my saving from hell. What I earned, the net I laid for myself. But my heart's not in love with a doctrine. My heart's not in love with the truth. My heart's in love with the person. Christ the truth. That's who it desires. That's who it praises. With a whole heart. Whole heart of that new creation. And that person's the Lord of Lords. Lord Jehovah. It's not some unknown God. Like they made a statue of. Or on Mars Hill. This is to the God. The God. Sometimes a part of the meal. You ever got a nice meal and have a dessert, and the dessert ain't that big? And I'm going to tell them, like, I didn't order the kids' meal. Have you seen me? Give me a bigger dessert. But boy, that's savory, isn't it? That's special. That's sweet. Maurice Montgomery once said to me, he said, our God is God. That's plain, simple. Boy, that's something to savor. It's like a piece of candy you can just nurse on for a while, and it will last. Those simple, small things are precious. That's who we praise. And that's who we praise with the whole heart that the Lord's given us. That new creation is. Turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, look in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. If you love someone, you praise them, don't you? You say good things about them. Because you know Him, you love Him. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is what David was speaking of. That was his desire. Do you have that desire? I want to love the Lord God, the God, not a God. I want to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and my neighbor as myself. That's my desire. David was a man after God's own heart because he was given the Spirit of Christ. That incorruptible seed was put in him and that new creation in him. We too delight in His law. That's what all the law and the prophets is hung. Don't you delight in that? That's wonderful, isn't it? That's my desire, is to do that. We desire it with our whole heart, with our new heart. Paul said there in Romans 7, he said, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I want to love Him. I want to love my neighbor as myself. But I see another law in my members. Paul didn't see that before. I didn't see that before. Nobody else saw that before. That other law. I thought I was doing fine. My inward man desires his law. Delights in the law. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I was. That I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. This pure mind stirred up inside of me. That new man in us, that new heart. It serves the Lord. It praises Him, sings Him, worships Him. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's what David was continuing here. You turn back in our text here in Psalm 9. We'll see a semicolon. He says in verse 1, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. This is our greater David speaking. This is Christ our Lord speaking. He's the only one that ever praised the Father with the whole of Him. Completely, fully, all of Him. And Christ the God-man is the only person that ever lived that knew all of the triune God's works. All of His marvelous works. But like David, you and I see in part, don't we? I don't know all His works. I know some of them. He's revealed some of them to me. And we show forth all that we know. We declare from our heart what's been taught in it. We just tell the truth. Tell the truth from the Lord's Word, what He's revealed in it. We walk in the light that He's given us, don't we? His marvelous works in creation. Walk outside, people say, where do you think that big old rock of granite up in Yosemite came from? Lord put it there. Ain't no question about that. What about the stars and the moon? How's the moon stay in orbit around this earth? Ain't nothing up there holding on. Lord keeps it there. He made it. He sustained it. And we don't argue those things about creation. Don't get an argument about creation with somebody. You just declare that the Lord made it and go on. Leave it alone. We declare His marvelous works in providence. All the things that happen in our lives. Good, bad, and ugly. I broke my leg. The Lord broke my leg. It was good. We've had some hard trials in our family. The Lord sent them, and they're good. It's His providence. His governing hand on all things. And as we grow in grace, we know grow in understanding and knowledge. We declare that too. We don't argue it. People say, you're crazy. Well, you can think what you want. Lord did it. He made it rain. He made the sun shine. He did it. And His marvelous works in salvation. That's the most marvelous thing to a child of God. This is a beautiful world we live in. There's some beautiful creatures in it. Providence is a beautiful thing to look back on time and see how the Lord's brought us exactly where He wanted us. That's a beautiful thing. But the salvation that's His, His marvelous work in salvation, oh, that's precious. That's precious. It's the most marvelous thing to us. How can the Lord remain just? He's not a God that looks at sin and goes and squints His eyes and turns from it. He's a just and holy God. How can He remain just and justify sinners? Make them righteous. He will by no means clear the guilty. How can that be? It's through His Son. That's how sinful men and women are made holy. He provided Himself as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That new heart that the Lord's given His people, we praise Him with it. We say, amen. That's right. We agree with Him and praise Him for it. That new heart worships in spirit and in truth. Heart worship is true worship. That physical exercise, outward show and anything else, raising hands and anything on the whiting this outward sepulcher, that does no good. Heart worship. And the Lord has to give that heart that. When I was down when I read this a couple weeks ago, I wasn't on a mountaintop. And I dwelled on those things. I thought of the marvelous works He's revealed to me. I walked a whole lot of miles thinking about that. And you know what? I rejoiced. I was glad. I was lifted from that pit, from that valley, and set on a mountaintop. He says there in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. Isn't that wonderful resolutions? You make a New Year's resolution, isn't that good? I will praise the Lord with all my heart. That's a good thing. I will declare His marvelous works. He's revealed to me. I'll just tell you what He did. Here's another one good. I will determine. I will be resolute in being glad. An old man said one time, he goes, I sit up on the edge of the bed every morning, I clap my hands, and I said, today's going to be a great day. That's a good way to start your day off. I'm going to be glad. We have a lot to be glad of. Wake up in the morning desiring to walk with the Lord and be glad because of who He is. Because of His marvelous works, they're accomplished. It's finished. There's nothing left to do. His marvelous creation that we live in and on. And His marvelous intercession He makes for His people. He ever lives to make intercession for them. And I pray sometimes, and I'm ashamed of myself. He makes intercession for His people. I sing sometimes, and I can't remember the words, and I'm off out of tune. Makes intercession for us. We beg Him. We approach Him right. He makes intercession for us. That's something to be glad over, isn't it? Something to rejoice in. Our gladness and our rejoicing, it says there, is in Thee. All of our contentment, all of a believer's contentment is in Christ and Him alone. Not happiness. Happiness is too, like I said before, happiness comes from happenstance. That's what modern dictionaries say, fate and luck or something like that. And it's every now and then. It's sometimes. But contentment, peace, rest, it's in Him and Him alone. It's in Thee. All of our rejoicing is in Him. We don't rejoice in the flesh. We don't rejoice in this world. But in a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. In Thee will I be glad and rejoice. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Whenever you're trying to remember something, you're going through school and you always try to put it to a jingle. I remember that. If it's a song, I can remember a song from 20 years ago. I've heard and almost every word. It's good to put them to a tune. We have our hymnals here with us, and the songs that we sing, it's to the praise of His name, His holy name, of our Lord and our God. And these are man's words that we sing. Sometimes we'll sing some psalms, and I enjoy that, but we have man's words in our hymnals, and it can be worded better sometimes. Sometimes we can say something more accurate, but it's the heart that sings. It's not just the voice box. It's not the words that come out, it's the heart. And it's hard not to be glad when you're singing from the heart. I hum all the time, whistle. I probably annoy a lot of people in the store or wherever I go. But sometimes the heart's just glad. And it sings, doesn't it? Sing a hymn. Sing a song of praise to our Lord. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. That's something to sing about it. On the cross He sealed my pardon. It's done. Nothing left to do. It's sealed. He paid the debt. He set me free. That's worth whistling. It's worth humming and singing from my heart. The gladness, the contentment that we have in Christ. The rejoicing we have is in Him. And we sing praises to His holy name. That name that's above every name. Someone that's worthy to be sang to. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Because we know Him. He's revealed Himself to us. That's part of the character of a believer. That's not our full character. We wish it was. We pray the Lord grows us. But we know who we sing to. We know our Redeemer. And we rejoice in Him. Paul wrote to the church there at Philippi and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in Him. We've had a bad day sometimes. Things just look like they're turning south. Today's already, it's burnt. It's bad. And it's getting worse, isn't it? I've had a bunch of those days. Rejoice. Be glad. Be of good cheer. Why? We're still His children. I may look on this day and what's going on in the news or what's going on in my life and be sad, be downtrodden. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. I'm still His child. He's still sitting on His throne, isn't He? He sent this day. This day is the Lord's day. That's what He's given. Because the end already has been determined from the beginning. He's already determined what the end will be from before the beginning, wouldn't it? Rest. Be content. Be glad. Rejoice. Sing. Sing praises to it. You ever seen the picture of those presidents whenever they take office? They take a picture of them when they first get in office, and then they take a picture of them that last year when they're getting out of office. Boy, they age, don't they? They get gray hair, and wrinkles, and they're quick, too. Takes a toll on them. Wouldn't that be something if we had a president that was glad in Christ, that rejoiced in Him, that sang His praises, that knew Him and was known of Him? Wouldn't that be something? Someone that would get up there and say, you know what, let's pray. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle the economy? All these things we're worried about, you know, health care. Let's pray about it, and let's do whatever the Lord lays on our hearts, and then let's go take a nap. Go eat a ham sandwich. Go rest. Go have some comfort. That's what we ought to do. We have a Lord and King that always rejoices in the Father. We have a King, a mighty King, that always sings His praises. We have a King that's always glad in His Father. Isn't that something? That's who rules and reigns. There'd been something said underneath David. David had his drawbacks, didn't he? They had some things. If we read these things now and look back on them, because we know the end of it. But if we were in that day, and David was our king, he was preaching to us, we might have some issues with what's going on in his daily life, wouldn't we? Not Christ our king, not him. It says in verse 3, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. You know, it doesn't say if my enemies are turned back. It says when. When. How can you and I have confidence like that to our true enemies? To our earthly enemies too. David was speaking of his earthly enemies, but he's talking about our true enemies. Our enemies like sin, death, hell, Satan. How can we have that assurance? Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 6, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have enemies on this earth, but they can only kill the body, can't they? That's the worst they can do to us. Christ said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. All of our true enemies, there's things we think's real, think's big trouble. Our true enemies, they've all been defeated by our Redeemer. Serpent's head's been crushed. It's finished. It's done. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 20. This will be something to be of good comfort to people. You got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then the Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20. It was a great company. Great army was coming against Jehoshaphat and Judah. And they couldn't win against them. They had no might against them. Just as we have no might against death. We have no might against sin, internally or externally for that matter. We have no might against the wiles of the devil. But all of Judah, they were standing before the Lord. They were calling to Him, praying to Him, fasting. The men, the children, the wives, all of them. King. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And here's what the Lord used him to tell His people. Here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And that's what the Lord speaks to His people when He comes to us. Fear not, I'm with thee. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know, this was the next verses before tomorrow came. This is how effectual the word of the Lord is to His people when He commands them just like blind Bartimaeus. He called on him, and he came when he was commanded to come. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. When he said it, they worshiped him. When he said it, they fell before him. They believed him, didn't they? They trusted him. That's who they trusted. And our text says, because they shall fall and perish at thy presence. All of our enemies, sin, death, hell, the grave, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, it's all going to fall at His presence. Not ours. Not our doing. His presence. And just like Enoch, the Lord's people, they'll never see that eternal death. That second death. It won't happen. We'll be changed. We'll be different than now. But when we wake in His likeness, what's that going to be like? I don't know, but I can tell you this. We'll be satisfied. We'll be satisfied when we wake in His likeness, won't we? The wars on this earth, the wars that are inside of ourselves, the battle we might have on our deathbed, Lord may give us. What do we do with all that? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Be glad in Christ. Rejoice in Him. Sing His praises. That's all we'd have to do, isn't it? And that's the believer's natural response. That's the instinct of the new man in us. Sing His praises. Rejoice in Him. Be glad in Him. Back in our text. This victory of our Lord, it goes beyond just not going to hell. It's not just a clean slate, a reset button, and, well, I'm spared from hell, having sin defeated. It's also being given an eternal righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, a holy nature that cannot sin, that will not sin. Doesn't have the possibility of it. Look here in verse 4. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. That's the verdict and my cause. What's the verdict of the Lord to His people? He looks on them, sees Christ who He put them in, and says, righteous. Well done. Who maintains that? He says, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging right. Paul said this to the church at Rome. He said, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's worthy of praise. That's worthy of singing. That's worthy of rejoicing in. Here's a word to those that don't believe, to those that dug their own pit, cast their own net, hate God, want nothing to do with Him. It says in verse 5, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. It's come to a perpetual, forever end. And speaking of the Lord, He says, and thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorial has perished with them. We have a lot of memorials around this country. People spend a lot of money and time and make them out of granite. Something's going to last a long time. Etch into them. Don't paint on it. You got to dig into it. It's going to last long. All that's going to perish. It's all going to burn. It's all going to be gone. That legacy won't stand. The Lord's will. He says, but in verse 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment. That's both edges of the sword. Our infinite God, who does not change, who loved His people with an everlasting love. He endures forever. He changes not. He's worthy of worship, worthy of praise, and He hath prepared His throne for judgment. He's not a white-bearded grandpa that's got some rules, but it's all right if you break them. We'll push it underneath the grave. His throne is prepared for judgment. And He will judge the world. All of us. Look here in verse 8. Psalm 9, verse 8. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. What He does in that final judgment, those that He declares when He separates them, the goats and the sheep, from His right hand, from His left hand, when He says, well done, my good and faithful servant, and when He says, depart from me, I never knew you. That is right. That is just. No one can lay the charge of the Lord doing wrong. He's right. His judgments are right. David's been singing praises to the Lord this whole time. Does this seem out of place to you? Did you know that when we're nothing but His likeness, and this whole flesh has gone away, I see that dimly. I get small glimmers of that, of the Lord's justice. And He's, what He does is right. We know that. But boy, we still have an old flesh that fights against us, don't we? Turn over to Revelation 19. There'll come a day when we will wholeheartedly praise the Lord in all things and in judgment. Revelation 19, verse 1. It says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The victory of that defeat, we will see. There'll be smoke rising up. There won't be nothing left of it. It'll be completely destroyed. But we'll know He won the victory forever and ever. "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah." I have loved ones in this earth I pray for. I wish the Lord would reveal Himself to them, show them they ain't nothing but just men. And who He is. And in that day, when I awaken His likeness, that judgment comes. Anything He says, I'll say Amen. That's right, isn't it? That'll be something, won't it? We'll sing His praises. We'll rejoice in His righteousness, His holiness, and thank Him for it, and sing to Him for eternity. Turn over just one page there in Revelation 20, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." What did the Lord tell His disciples there in John? He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Well, how am I going to have a place in heaven? He's going to have to prepare it. It's going to have to be His doing. Salvation is going to have to be of the Lord. Look down at verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Who will it be that sings His praises in that final judgment day? How is it we were put in that Lamb's book of life? Turn back in our text here in Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 9. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." And that judgment I just read, we read there in Revelation 19 to 20. What's the refuge of someone that's oppressed? A refuge of a needy sinner. Christ our refuge. He's our city of refuge, isn't it? Being in Him, being one with Him, the hope we have. He's our hope. He's our glory, isn't it? Brother Henry used to tell a story, you all probably heard it, but there's a family traveling across the western plains heading west, and fire broke out. It's coming across the hill. And so they stopped the stagecoach, and the driver got out, and he burned a big old ring around that stagecoach, and the fire went out. He backburned, if you're a firefighter, he backburned the area. And that little girl sitting in her daddy's lap, and she is scared to death. "Daddy, what are we going to do? That fire's coming. What are we going to do? Because this fire's coming, we're going to die." And he said, "Honey, what's burnt can't burn twice. The fire of the Lord's wrath for His people was set on His Son, our refuge. He absorbed it. He satisfied it. All of it. Divine justice. Being forsaken. God forsaking God for His people. And what He's burned once, He cannot burn again. It's gone. It's extinguished forever, isn't it? Christ is our city of refuge, and we run to Him. That road's been cleared. Those crews went out. They took all the stumps out of the way, all the rocks out of the way. Signposts are up. Here he is. Go to him. Run. That's our high place. That's the high ground. Get to him. Run to him. It says in verse 10, and they that know thy name will. We will be made willing in the day of his power, won't we? They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. We know his name and we put our trust in him as he reveals himself to us. I was thinking about the names of the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He teaches that over time. Physically. How are we going to get groceries? The Lord's going to provide. How are we going to have a job? How are we going to do anything? Breathe. The Lord's got to provide. Spiritually, what's needed? The Lord must provide it. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. You ever got a paper cut that just would not heal? You can't make it heal. Physically, he has to heal us. Spiritually, we were dead. He must give us life. He must heal us. That great physician must come to us. That's a name we know, isn't it? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rea, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord my righteousness. How are we going to have a righteousness to stand before a holy God? Christ, our city of refuge. He must do it for us. David started out in this psalm. We'll wrap it up. He said, I will for thou hast. I will for thou hast. That's personal, isn't it? Now he tells the whole congregation. Now he tells everybody. Tells verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Praise him. Tell people what he did. You know, that's a privilege and honor, and it's a duty we have that know him. Those who he's revealed his name to, who he is. We get to tell people what he's done. Why are you happy all the time? How can you make it through these trials? You know what God did for sinners? Run to him. That's a city of refuge. Go to him. That's where we need to be. The text may be different every service that we have, but the message is the same. Remember where we turn. Christ and him crucified. That doesn't change. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear what he's done for sinners. I want to know what his promises are to his people. Stand on rest. Tell me one more time. I've read that 75 times. Read it 76 times. I want to see it one more time.